Good morning. It's Monday, May 27th, Memorial Day. Very exciting. And this is now officially, we're in the back half of the NFL discussion in our offseason player movements. Part 6. And we're starting with the Kansas City.
I can't wait.
Well, you're not kidding, Arden. You can't wait. The Kansas City Chiefs, who
are my Super Bowl pick of the year.
I couldn't believe it. You know,
they are going to make history this year. I'm putting my name, the football guru, on the line by saying the Kansas City Chiefs will be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl this year.
I don't even know how you could even say that.
Well, I'm just going to give a little quick recap on why I feel that way, and then we'll talk about how they impact the fantasy world. You're taking a team that was the worst team in the league but had 6 Pro Bowlers. Now, Pro Bowl doesn't mean anything, but you had 6 people that were pretty darn good players, and now you added a good football coach, a good organization builder in Andy Reid. You bring in a quarterback who's finally got it, who's finally figured it out with Alex Smith. And you still have Jamal Charles. You still have Dwayne Bowe. You have Donnie Avery you bring in. So now you have that number 2 wide receiver that you haven't had there. You're going to have a coach who's going to figure out how to properly use Dexter McCluster. Okay? And you still have Jonathan Baldwin. So you're 4 deep at wide receiver. You're 2 deep at tight end. You bring in Sean Smith. You bring in Dante Robinson. You bring in Mike DeVito. And you had the number 1 pick overall. So now your offensive line is stout. This team is going to do some serious damage. And I'm looking at this roster, and I'm seeing a lot of fantasy value with it. The NFL world, Super Bowl contender. Fantasy world, I like Alex Smith. I like him a lot. I think Alex Smith could start in a 12-team league. I think you would be okay with him as a starter. There's so many weapons around him. And Andy Reid's offenses are very quarterback-friendly.
That's what I was going to say. I think especially he immediately jumps up because of Andy Reid.
He's going to be your 27 touchdown, 8 to 10 interceptions. He'll run 3 to 5 in. So he'll over 30 touchdowns. So Alex Smith, you know, if you want to wait for a quarterback and stock up at the other positions, Alex Smith might be a nice wait for you. Where you say, all right, I'm going to pass on, you know, the top 5 or 7 quarterbacks are gone. So it's, you know, I could grab a Romo or I could grab a Roethlisberger or, a, you know, someone along those lines or Cutler as my starter. I wait. I draft a better tight end. I draft a better wide receiver, you know, higher end wide receiver, running back. And then I wait till round 8, round 9 after everybody's grabbed their quarterback and I grab Alex Smith as my starter. And I'm
going to
be happy.
I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, on Alex Smith, he didn't exactly get into the best situation when he came into the NFL.
No.
You know, then that coach moves on. They bring in a guy who could have cared less about the quarterback and the linebacker coach, you know, who was the former linebacker coach. And then they bring in Harbaugh, who's a great coach, but I think the only issue with him is he needs a quarterback that plays a certain way. And I don't think Alex Smith was that quarterback.
Well, he wanted his own quarterback.
Right, that too. That
you know, see, Andy Reid traded to bring Alex Smith in, so that's his quarterback.
That's a great,
You know, he came in Harbaugh and drafted his quarterback in Kaepernick. He inherited Alex Smith, and inherited quarterbacks usually don't stick around very long, unless it's Peyton Manning. And if you have Peyton Manning as a coach, you're winning a lot of games. The chances are you're not getting fired.
Right.
So you know what I'm saying? So you inherited the wrong quarterback. He worked with him. I think he made him a better quarterback. He won games for him. He used a couple of plays, a couple of fumbles from Kyle Williams from going and probably winning the Super Bowl that year.
I think that Alex Smith even surprised Harbaugh. I do.
Yeah.
I think that he saw the film. He saw what he did. And he thought very little of him, went out and got Kaepernick. Offseason started and realized, you know what? This guy isn't that bad. I can't bench this guy in favor of this rookie who clearly isn't ready to do anything yet. So Alex Smith was able to excel, I think, further than what Harbaugh gave him credit for. But at that point in time, he had already committed to moving on to Kaepernick. So.
And Harbaugh's legacy will rest on how Alex Smith does compared to Kaepernick. If Kaepernick doesn't do anything for him and they regress as a team and Alex Smith goes to a Super Bowl, there's going to be a lot of eyebrows raised in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And if it the other way around, you know, a lot hinges on how Alex Smith does and Kaepernick does. A lot of people in the 49er community are going to keep an eye, and in the football, they're going to keep an eye on that. That would be a big knock against his the legacy he's building. If Alex Smith gets traded away and they wound up, you know, he goes and wins a Super Bowl somewhere. But, you know, I'll tell you, one of my favorite running backs in the league is Jamaal Charles when healthy. Guy could take it to the house as good as Chris Johnson can. But he can tote the ball 25 times. I don't think they will in Andy Reid's offense. You're going to see McCoy-type numbers out of this guy. Big 15, 18-yard runs all the time. Touchdowns from 40 yards away, catching the ball out of the backfield. You're going to see a huge season out of Jamaal Charles. Dwayne Bowe off an injury, a motivated Dwayne Bowe. You're going to see humongous number one wide receivers at Dwayne Bowe. Keep an eye on him round two, round three. People are going to forget about him because off an injury, a lack of production. People drafted, remember what they did last year. They don't remember the long-term production out of a player or
and
a potential.
And also realize now, Andy Reid's offense.
Well, right.
West Coast, a wide receiver-friendly offense.
I love this team. I love their players. They're fantasy value players. I have a soft spot for Dwayne Bowe because he single-handedly carried me to a championship a couple years back with those humongous games that he's had. You know, Tony Maiocchi, they don't know if he's ever going to be 100%, but Anthony Fasano was pretty productive, so he comes in. You bring in Donnie Avery, he's another speed guy. You know, I just look at this Chiefs offense and I see one, Alex Smith, Jamaal Charles, Dwayne Bowe, all top. You know, I see Bowe and Charles top 2 to 3 rounds, Alex Smith within round 5. So you got three premier players going within the first 5 rounds.
So you don't see Avery taking any of the catches away from Bowe, but rather
makes
enhancing
him better. I think he's enhancing better. Now, McCluster, if you're in a deeper league, maybe if you play four wide receivers, he may be worth a draft spot late in the draft because who knows? Maybe he winds up being their number two. Maybe he winds up being in a Darren Sproles role. But the one thing that's not going to happen to this offense, like it happened last year, which was just amazingly annoying to watch, was not just from a football perspective, but definitely from a fantasy perspective, and as a Jamaal Charles owner. Jamaal Charles, get the ball, run 8 yards, get up, off the field, in comes Peyton Hillis.
Right.
He'd run a couple of, and then he got an injury. There was never any continuity with the running game. You know, now that Peyton Hillis...
And now Hillis is out, and he's not even on a team.
It was difficult to watch because you're sitting there scratching your head saying, you got a guy that any given time could take it to the house. And
right.
if the Chiefs had one strength last year, it was their offensive line. Run the ball, whether it be Peyton Hillis or Jamaal Charles. But the way they did... He spent more time and more waste energy running off and on the field than he did, you know, on any given drive. It was like watching the Tebow Sanchez thing.
It honestly doesn't, because like I said, Peyton Hillis doesn't even have a team right now. Nobody even wants him. I mean,
exactly.
That's got to say something about his skill level.
I think
there's 31 other teams out there that don't even want him.
Well, exactly. And I think you're going to see top five.
And you're telling me he deserved to take carries away from Jamaal Charles?
No.
Of course not.
I don't think so. And Jamaal Charles, again, this is going to be a big year for him because last year he was still coming off that major injury. Although it had been early in the season, he had a lot of time to recover. It's still a knee injury. It took Edgerrin James a year to come back from a similar injury. So this is going to be a year, Jamaal Charles. I mean, if you're picking late in first round and Ray Rice and Arian Foster and you know, DeMarco Murray's probably going to go high because he's exclusive. Obviously,
these guys aren't going to go ahead of – no way. Charles has got to be way ahead of those guys.
Ahead of Arian Foster and Ray Rice?
No, not of Ray Rice. I say yes.
Yeah, I would. I personally would. But I'm just saying, people are going to go with brand names. You know, they're going to look at, you know, Ray Rice and say, Ray Rice, you know, he's notorious top five pick.
I hope none of our listeners are – naive enough to think like that. Hopefully,
I think running back is Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster. You could probably say maybe Chris Johnson there.
No,
but I like Jamaal Charles. I mean, I'll take the Pepsi challenge with him over just about anybody other than Arian Foster and Adrian Peterson. Oh, Trent Richardson.
Richardson's up there. Yeah, I guess. You know, I'd still take Jamaal Charles over him.
I like that he could take it to the house.
Yes.
And he's for his guy that's fast. He's not a small guy. He could take the ball 20
Doug
times.
Martin, I wouldn't. I like him too, Doug.
Yeah,
Martin.
Let me see. I would take Jamaal Charles. Just a longer track record.
Right, track record.
No, but this is a team, again, Super Bowl. I think I have him. My pick, I think they're 35 to 1 for my Vegas pick. I had somebody put $20 on it for me. I think the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl and win it.
I might have to.
And if you draft some of their guys, you're going to have some major production with your fantasy team.
Well, there we go. So the guru, we've already said it. This is, you know, earlier in the season, and we're saying it again, and we're going to say it one more time.
Yeah.
And that is, he thinks they're going. Make sure you get as many people as you can on that roster on your team, basically, right?
Yep.
Miami Dolphins.
Interesting.
Major free agent signing in Wallace. And then they also coughed up the money for Brian Hartline. That one took me back a little bit.
Yeah, and Dustin Keller.
Oh, yeah, Dustin Keller.
You know, and Brandon Gibson. Mm-hmm. You know, so they went mighty on surrounding weapons around Tannehill. You got to give credit to the Dolphins organization. You really do. They took a chance on Tannehill, and he showed some flashes of being a pretty darn good quarterback.
Right.
And unlike the Jaguars, and unlike the Vikings, and unlike the Rams, they invested in giving him weapons. They gave him a deep threat with Mike Wallace.
Mm-hmm. And Brian Hartline. They're both
And Brian Hartline. You gave him that guy with sure hands, mid-range receiver, and Brandon Gibson.
Yes.
You gave him a speedy, pass-catching tight end. Okay.
You've got a couple young running backs there.
Couple of young running backs. I mean, that's probably another. We talked about the Colts. This is another running back situation I'd stay far away from.
Yeah.
If I had a gun to my head, I'd say Lamar Miller.
Yeah, good for NFL, horrible for us, obviously.
Having these type running backs are good for a quarterback's development, but they stink for fantasy value, and that's what we're here to talk about. So I would say I wouldn't touch Daniel Thomas. Can't stay healthy. And when he's been there, he hasn't done anything. Lamar Miller, second year, you know, he may be given every opportunity to win or lose the job, depends on which way you want to look at it. He's worthy, you know, way late in the draft as maybe your third or fourth or fifth running back, taking a flyer on him. But I'm looking at this team and I'm saying Tannehill's a very serviceable backup for fantasy football. I'm looking at Mike Wallace. Someone's going to grab him based on him being a brand name. Hartline is going to be drafted in the mid to late round. If Tannehill pans out and you draft a Hartline 7th, 8th, 9th round, and he winds up being your number 3 wide receiver. That's how you win your Super Bowl, is getting players like that on your roster. High upside, new situation, unknown. Some people stay away from it. I like having Brian Hart. I would grab Brian Hartline. So when people are trying to cover Mike Wallace, Hartline's going to get 8 catches a game.
And Brandon Gibson is a very underrated guy. He's not going to do anything fancy. But again, he's an NFL value, I believe. He's like you said, he's a guy who will catch the ball.
Yep. He reminds me a lot of, before he had his breakout year, Brandon Lloyd. Hmm. Makes the good catches, underrated. Just felt if he just got his shot in a good organization, the guy could make something of himself. I think this is a better situation than he had in St. Louis. I know Tannehill's a younger quarterback and unproven, but I still think he's going to have a better opportunity to be productive because there's big weapons around him now. He's going to go undrafted, but keep an eye on him for waivers. Or if you're in a really deep league and you got 25 picks, you may want to take a flyer on a Brandon Gibson. Yeah. Dustin Keller, I mean, he's got out of that circus in New York.
Yeah. Miami hasn't had a tight end in forever either.
Well, I think, yeah, since I
thought. Fasano, you know?
Yeah, Fasano. I mean, they really haven't. You know, they had, you know, Keith Jackson for a while. They had Eric Green for a while, but they haven't had, you know, a tight end, and you need a tight end in this league to be successful.
Right.
Guy can play when he gets on the field. He was in a crappy organization with the Jets. With terrible
quarterback play. Yeah, just
no other weapons around him. So, and he's not a big guy, so he can't block very well. And a lot of times he was asked to stay in and block. A lot of times he was taking the ball, getting the ball in the middle, getting pounded. I just think Dustin Keller, you know, he has the potential to be a very productive tight end.
Better year this year for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much better?
I would say he's going to be, you know, their number 2 receiver.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Hartline number 1.
Oh, really?
And Keller number 2, Wallace number 3.
Wallace number 3?
Well, here's why. Tannehill is still a young quarterback. It takes a while to get that deep ball down, you know, and he's going to still have happy feet. He's going to be looking for his outlets. Young quarterbacks look for their outlet. They don't have the poise and the confidence to take a 7-step drop and just unload the ball down the field. That's Mike Wallace's game. Mike Wallace is going to have 60 catches, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns. But as far as receptions, Hartline's going to be number 1. Keller's going to be number 2. Wallace is going to be number 3.
Interesting. So, actually, in that regard, maybe Brandon Gibson might have a little bit better season then because he's the underneath guy who's always going to be.
Yeah, you're going to see 40 or 50 catches out of him. I mean, you know, there's going to be some, you know, you're going to see Hartline may miss some games or Keller's may get hurt. You know, what's happened with Agnew? They drafted him to be their tight end of the future. The guy didn't even get a catch last year.
Yeah, they were in discussions to try and get that offensive lineman from Kansas City, too, weren't they? Is that who it was? Yeah. But that fell Albert. That fell through for some reason.
Well, he wants to be on a Super Bowl team, so he's going to stay.
That's probably a good point.
Well, I mean, I just look at it as I Super think Bowl Tannehill's team. Development.
Forgot. Yeah, Super Bowl.
Yeah, if, you know, if Tannehill, in Tannehill's development, he can't depend on the bomb. He's going to have to depend on the short to intermediate passes. I'm going to look to Ken O'Brien. Remember Ken O'Brien way back in 1986? He was great the first 10 games of the season because all he would do was hit Altoon and Wesley Walker on 70-yard plays. When they took that away, the guy didn't know how to throw a 10-yard out to save his life. And that offense, I mean, and I think that's – I always remember that when you have these speed receivers that say, oh, it's going to be bombs away, be careful of that. Because what happens is you forget how to throw the short pass. And when they take away the big threat, the bomb, you can't hit the short pass and your accuracy with the short pass isn't there, you're going to fail as a quarterback. And he never got it back. They're not going to make that mistake with Tannehill. They gave him that deep threat, but they're not going to sit there and just come firing, you know, 50-yard bombs down the field all day long. They're going to use that intermediate passing game with Hartline, Keller, and Brandon Gibson.
Okay, so recap. Tannehill better this year.
Tannehill, good number two record.
Much better this year than last year.
Good number two quarterback. He's going to get you 3,000 yards, which isn't saying much for a quarterback these days. He's going to get you 20 touchdowns. He's going to probably throw 14 or 15 interceptions because he's young. Stay away from the running backs. Wide receiver, I would say Hartline and Wallace are going to be the ones that are drafted. Probably mid-round. I say Wallace probably fourth or fifth round because he's a brand name. I say Hartline, mid-round. Because people are going to think, oh, they got Mike Wallace now. They're not going to get the ball to Hartline.
They will think that. Absolutely. Good point.
I disagree with it. I think he's seventh, eighth, ninth round. That's how you win your championships. Grab Brian Hartline and look for Dustin Keller. Again, if you're all the good tight ends are gone, you know, and you want to look at it, let me get a better third running back or let me get a better third wide receiver and I'll get a tight end later, Keller would be a good pick. Again, seventh, eighth, ninth round.
Dynasty. Any of these running backs on Miami?
Lamar Miller.
Think Lamar Miller? He had all that concern about his shoulders or something coming out. Was that just like smoke in ears? What was that?
I just think that, you know, they didn't really give an emphasis to run the ball last year. Tannehill wasn't that great last year, so they did stack the box, and neither one of them really were able to, you know, separate themselves, and that's why there's going to be a running back competition this, you know, upcoming year. I give the edge to Lamar Miller, but I would touch either one of them in a draft. I would take a Lamar Miller 14th, 15th, 16th round. No earlier than that.
No earlier than that. No, that, I mean, that's really late, yes.
Because you have running back by committee with two running backs who aren't very good.
Yeah.
It's like you have running back by committee and you have, again, Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. You have two that aren't very good as it is. Why bother with them? You want to take a guy who may have upside because there's a short snapshot of what he can do, but I wouldn't take Lamar Miller as my number two. I would take him maybe as my number five.
Okay. Our next team, they lost one of the premier players, unfortunately, in the NFL, Percy Harvin. Minnesota Vikings then went out and grabbed, I guess, a replacement in Greg Jennings. Is that, how much of a dip is that going to take?
It's a dip. It's a dip. I think team-wise, they're probably going to be better. Our first podcast last year, I remember saying about Percy Harvin that he was going to be the quarterback who had the biggest meltdown and was going to wind up being traded.
I do remember that.
Said that early in our first podcast.
You said that he was going to get traded last year, and you were just a little, you were 100% right, just a little bit early.
But, I mean, he was still disruptive. He was exactly what we said. He was the wide receiver diva. Now, don't take away from his production because it was there. But you know what? This is going to be a better for Christian Ponder, believe it or not, because now you got a leader and a champion in Greg Jennings. You still have Adrian Peterson, which means I could probably quarterback for the Vikings. You know, all I'm doing is I'm turning around, I'm giving the guy the ball.
Well, and you know what? I think the addition of Jennings, the subtraction of the cancer Harvin, you can't say enough about that either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he never was seen to be happy in Minnesota. He's always had problems. And I just felt last year he was gonna get a suspension or something or traded because he was just going to act up to the point where they're going to be like, get this guy out of here. Well, they wound up doing it in the offseason. And they got some good draft. They had a good draft. I mean, they're going to, you know, you bring in a guy like, you know, Greg Jennings. You have Adrian Peterson, which is the focal point of the offense. He's going to get 2,000 yards. He's going to get 20-plus touchdowns. Getting out of bed in the morning. I mean, that's it.
That's right.
The guy is great. I mean, he's a freak of nature. So you can take the time to develop Cordell Patterson.
Yeah.
Cordell Patterson. Because now you have your number one guy in Greg Jennings. Ponder is going to be a game manager, which means I wouldn't draft a guy. You're going to get Greg Jennings. You have Kyle Rudolph, who's picked it up last year. Cordell Patterson, you can have time to develop him. And that's a good thing. Because you don't need him to come in and do anything. You need him just to be on the other side of Greg Jennings.
How good do you think he could be with Ponder being his quarterback? Now we're talking Dynasty, obviously.
Dynasty, I would say, we'll find out this year if Ponder is a quarterback of their future.
Gotcha. So you're saying Patterson is got the talent, and if they can't get him the ball, then it's Christian Ponder's fault, and he may be gone. That's what you're saying?
If the Vikings start out 2-3, 1-4, and Ponder's really just not doing it, you're going to see Matt Castle in there start. Because this is a team that could go to the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs when you have a guy like Adrian Peterson and a pretty good defense.
That could be a very smart signing in the offseason.
You know, Matt Castle was a serviceable quarterback. Again, when you have Adrian Peterson, your goal is just to manage the game.
Exactly.
So neither one of them are fantasy options, plain and simple. I would say Greg Jennings, if somebody wants to go by brand name and think about him as with his Packer numbers, someone's going to draft him higher than he should go. He's a guy you got to keep an eye on. Again, I always say it, that 7th, 8th, and 9th round where you're trying to complete your starting lineup. He's your 3rd or 4th wide receiver. He's not the number one guy going 1st or 2nd round like he was. He's going maybe round 6, to, in my opinion, round 6 to earliest because of the fact you got a game managers as quarterbacks,
right?
And the offense, the focal point of the options, Adrian Peterson. And if Adrian Peterson isn't getting the touchdowns, it's usually going to Kyle Rudolph.
Right. It's not going to be a passing attack. It's going to be a control it running.
Right. If you look at Percy Harvin, he got a lot of running touchdowns and he got a lot of return touchdowns. He didn't get a lot of 50-yard bomb touchdowns.
And that's where Patterson's going to be coming in to fill that exact role.
Well, right. I mean, I think you're going to try and fill that role by a couple of people. I mean, Jerome Simpson, I was definitely disappointed with what he did last year, but is that a proponent of them just focusing on the run and Ponder just not being that good of a quarterback? Or is it just that Jerome Simpson just didn't fit in? I mean, they also have that young rookie that came on strong at the end of last year. I can't think of the guy's name. That has some potential. So, this is a team that they're built around Adrian Peterson. He's going to be the number one pick overall. Unless you're in the league where quarterbacks get excessive points, I don't see any reason if you have number one pick overall not to take Adrian Peterson. With the running back by committee thing, to get the top running back in the league, and when the wraparound comes back, you can still get a guy like an Andre Johnson or Dez Bryant or Jamal Charles or a
You grab an immediate advantage over the entire league getting a guy like that because they all have to fill their running back positions too, and they're
Everyone else is. I mean, other than Arian Foster, is going to lose some carries to Bernard Pierce. We talked about that in an earlier podcast. The guy is good, Bernard Pierce.
Yeah, Ray Rice is going to. Yep.
Yeah, I mean LeSean McCoy. I mean he's not going to.
Lost you.
That offense, I don't see it. Chris Johnson. I mean, who knows with Chris Johnson? I mean, do you get the Chris Johnson of 2,000 yards or the last couple of years? Jamal Charles. I love the guy, but you may be able to get him on the wraparound when people start grabbing their quarterbacks, especially in a 10 team league. So if you get Adrian, you have to take Adrian Peterson with the number one pick overall. This is the one year I want number one pick overall. I know enough of other guys to draft to be okay at the second and third round back-to-back picks, to wait that long for a pick. I want Adrian Peterson. End the discussion.
Okay, Patterson now. Now we're going to go dynasty side. Back to Patterson. He's not going to have this crazy, amazing first year, obviously. Dynasty draft wide receiver rankings. We've heard a couple of them now. Where do you rank him as wide receivers?
Fourth.
Fourth? So not very high then.
Tavon Austin.
Uh-huh.
Only because he's going to come in and he's going to have the opportunity to do the most.
Right.
Not that he will. He's going to have the opportunity to do the most. Right now, we can only go by what we think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Second is going to be DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Third is going to be, was it Robert Woods they took in Buffalo?
In Buffalo, yep. Robert Woods.
Robert Woods, and then I take Cordell Patterson.
Really? That's kind of sad for me. I thought he would be higher than that. I thought maybe he'd be able to overcome the situation a little bit better.
Everything I heard that I've heard, again, I watched all the pre-draft shows. I mean, again, that's my cliff notes to the college football season, is watching all the draft stuff. Instead of watching all the games, and I just watch the pre-draft stuff and learn all I can about the, hearing it from guys who pretty much know what they're talking
about. Who've been watching it the whole time, exactly. Yeah.
You know, he doesn't. He's unpolished. He's not a good route runner yet. But when he catches the ball, look out.
He's look out, right, yeah. And he's, but he's not in the right spot. Sliding right into Percy Harvin's role, though. He's
yeah, but it's not. It's
almost
not,
giving it right to him. Here you go, dude. This is yours.
If Cordell Patterson was on New England, or if Cordell Patterson was on New Orleans, or anywhere with a proven number one franchise quarterback,
even the Colts,
he's the number two, the Colts. He's the number two guy in my Austin Pat. Why? Because Ponder's not going to be able to get him the ball and make up for him not being in the right spot. Based on experience and just being a great quarterback, you could look out. You know, does that make any sense? Like, Patterson could be in the wrong spot, but Peyton Manning could still get him the ball. Hmm. Ponder's not going to be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? Ponder's not going to throw Patterson open like Ben Roethlisberger would,
right.
Tom Brady would, or Drew Brees would do, or Tony Romo even. He's not going to throw this guy open. He's going to have to do his own thing to get Ponder to get him the ball, and he doesn't have that polish yet.
But do you think they're going to get him in a situation just like Harvin, though? And that is, you know,
he's not that type of talent.
End of rounds and all that kind of stuff.
I don't see him as that type of talent. I see him as a Plexico Burress type of wide receiver.
Oh, that's a huge difference.
You know, I see him as a big, fast guy who's going to out jump.
What about a Josh Gordon type guy?
Yeah, something like
more
that.
More like him, at least, not Plaxico Burress.
Well, when Burress came in the league, he was just a big wide receiver, didn't have much polish, you know, and, you know.
He was not very good after the catch, though. He wasn't slick and moving around.
Yeah, that's true, but he was able to make the big play because he would just be able players,
he was just a monster.
Players bounced off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he got good position. Maybe it may not be. I mean, I'm just thinking of that just the size-wise. He's not as big. Just a big wide receiver, a tall, lanky-type wide receiver. I just see that because of the quarterback situation, he's going to take longer to develop.
Yeah. I really like what Minnesota did in the draft, though. You know, they had the fantasy football owner perspective. It's like, you know, screw the back half of the draft. We want to load up into the front and get as many studs as we can, possibly.
Well, they went to the playoffs, and it was a glaring weakness was they just can't move the ball without Adrian Peterson being the one moving it.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose Percy Harvin. I mean, he's, you know, cancer in the locker room. You know, you hope Seattle with a winning organization and some more leaders on that team and a, you know, better polished coach, I should say, a bigger name as a coach can straighten them out, you know, which we'll talk about in a few podcasts down the road. But, you know, you bring in a champion like Greg Jennings, a leader, a locker room guy. It's going to help in the development of Ponder. You don't have to worry about some guy mouthing off and giving you crap. You're just going to go out there and let me hand the ball to Adrian Peterson. Let me not throw the ball to the wrong team. And we have a chance to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. Okay, that's it for this week. We've gone through the first half of the league. You guys can follow us on Twitter, get any of the updates that are happening out there with any of the top news that's happening from players and players. For the Blitz, I am Kyle Omler. That was Chris Polina. Thanks for listening, guys.
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. I love it.